Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now it's live.
WWE are planning reactionary changes to record low ratings. Hello, I am Adam Blonde PA with the most PA filling in for Luke Owen, who is moving house today. And I am joined by the hardest woman in wrestling, YouTube, Hollywood, Denise the Hammer, Salcedo. Welcome to the show.
What an introduction. I love your introduction. I have to tell Luke that you guys are up for, I don't know whose introduction I like more. I can't decide.
Wow. Oh, I guess infighting within the boys. She's sewing it already. You like to see it. Have you picked up any more gimmicks since we last spoke on one of these shows?
No, I don't think so. I think my gimmicks have all remained the same.
Ah, okay. So we're talking about record low rate. Oh, actually, no, before we talk about that, why do you hate Christmas?
Oh, we're starting off with that, really? We're starting off with that?
Yeah, okay, we're starting off with that because it's Christmas. I can't put it over my headphones. It's Christmas.
It blew up, Adam. It blew up. I just said Christmas was overrated, and now I'm the Grinch. I don't know how it happened, but it happened, and now I just have to live with it, and it's part of my life now, and it is what it is.
You tried to kid me that you didn't have any extra gimmicks, but the biggest gimmick of all, that you hate Christmas.
And what it's so a heel. Too, because so this is the first year that my family and I, we're not putting up any Christmas tree. We don't have any Christmas decorations, and we usually do, but my grandma bought a bunch of new furniture, and she's like, I don't really want to move stuff around. I'm not really in the mood. And I was like, yeah, me either. So we just decided not to do any Christmas decorations. And it's just so weird how it sort of fell in while I'm doing this whole thing with Christmas on the internet.
Wow. Live the gimmick, brother.
Yes, seriously.
So we're talking about record low WWE ratings. Now, one of the things we should obviously point out. So what we know is that Raw did a very, 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 very low rating of 1.5 million people on Monday. The AEW before that beat them in their key demo. Of course, everyone's been talking about the demo of, I believe it's 20 something to 40 something. I'm not as up with my facts as Luke, but the important thing is, everyone in WWE is apparently freaking out about this. It's important to say, obviously, to the people watching this at home, is that, you know, AEW did not quite manage to keep that momentum going with the most recent show, but eclipsing WWE is a big deal for WWE. That it's a ceremonial victory, but one that is apparently been seen as, according to Dave Meltzer, a wake-up call for WWE. Everyone I know in WWE was stunned, and everyone I know in WWE got the message too. It's just what you do with the message. There are lots of issues at stake. And WrestleVotes has reported, talking to a source just now, who said the record low rating news isn't sitting well with those in power, to a point where they expect some reactionary decisions to be made. Now, I don't know if you know this about me, Denise, but one of my gimmicks is I'm a little bit of a fantasy booker. So I thought...
I knew that one. I think that's like basic 101 Adam knowledge.
So I thought what might be a little bit fun is not only just kind of like talk about whether or not WWE should be reacting violently, but also considering over the years we've had the wild card rule, we've had Raw Underground, we've had this, that, and the other in order to...
Retribution.
Of course. So all of these things to happen to combat low ratings, none of which have stuck. Just a little idea of maybe predicting what it is that WWE is going to do, because I'm not sure. And honestly, I cannot wait for next Monday. Who knows what's going to happen? Shane McMahon might just bring a gun to Raw. We don't know.
In this climate, it might not even work. I think people would be like freaking out about it. Like, what the heck? Why are you promoting guns on television? We are anti-guns over here. And then other people are going to be like, no, we're pro-guns. And I could just see that becoming a total mess, Adam. But I like this, though, because I have something. I mean, it's not very specific. And I know you're the king of booking, and I'm not like a queen of booking whatsoever. But I think that we're going to be seeing something happen at TLC. Now, I don't know exactly what, but I have a feeling that if anything goes down, if they're going to try to make any sort of drastic change, it's going to have to happen at TLC in order to promote Monday to try and boost those Monday numbers. So my theory is either like A, and these aren't, I'm not saying that these are like the best options. This is just what I think that they're going to do. Either A, they're going to probably give the title to AJ somehow, somewhere down the line.
Oh, wow.
Or B, they're going to have Goldberg, specifically for TLC, they're going to have Goldberg come out.
And Bring him in.
Yes, I don't know.
Helicopter Goldberg in to save WWE like he did at Super Showdown.
See, this is what I meant, okay? I don't know if it's a great idea, but I just feel I'm trying to get into like their brain, you know, and I'm trying to think here what can be done or what they might do. I don't know. But I feel like if anything, though, TLC is probably going to even be left off with a cliffhanger, which, you know, I'm not personally a fan of cliffhangers, but I do think we might see something similar to that play out in TLC.
Yeah, so we're talking about a lot about who maybe returns. Obviously, there is a big rumored return for TLC in the form of Charlotte being Asuka's partner. I mean, like, is that enough to kind of put the huge spotlight on Monday Night Raw? No, you need an Undertaker, don't you? Or you need a Goldberg or a Stone Cold Steve Austin or a Ric Flair to maybe welcome his daughter back. But like, realistically, what do you do like to right this ship? I mean, like, obviously it's a big narrative that a lot of people are playing up because it's fun. AEW beating WWE is a super fun narrative, especially considering how complacent and how repetitive WWE programming is. But realistically, like, do you want to see a huge overreaction from WWE about this? Or do you want them to... Like, I mean, obviously, like, if they do something big, big is always fun. You know, Raw Underground was a big load of nonsense, but it was fun to talk about, especially for us. Retribution, when Slapjack first debuted, that's a lot of fun for us to talk about. But ultimately, like, is there anything that WWE can do in this, the no fans, one of the worst periods of wrestling ever, as a fan? Personally, like, is there anything WWE can do to right the ship without completely sinking their own product?
So here's the thing, is that you mentioned like, oh, doing something big, something grand, that's fine and dandy, but you just can't have something be done for like one night's pop only and then have nothing else to follow up for it either the next week or even the weeks after that. So think about it. Raw is a 3-hour show. You can't just thrive off of one thing. It's got to be more things that need to be done. Like, let's say they do something shocking at TLC. Okay, great. That might be fine and dandy, but it's got to be the whole show that needs to be worked on. And there's several things that they need to do in order for in order for Raw to start getting interesting. And some of them are definitely, you know, people are so over and done with, you know, the DQ finishes, the, all of those, you know, non-clean finishes, 50-50 booking. People are not into that anymore because, or haven't been into that because it's not something that gets you excited. It's like, why am I going to care about this if this person's going to lose this week, win next week, or whatever the case may be? This match didn't even matter because it ended in some crazy random finish that no one really cares about. So they need to work on that. Two, focusing on, you know, creating stars. That's always been the thing. They need to have, you know, they need to have young stars. They need to have new stars. They need to have larger than life stars. People that are your John Cena's, your, I know this is kind of, you know, reaching, but, you know, try to find your next Stone Colds or your next The Rocks, you know, those types of people. We need those people as well. Three, I don't think things should be kept so formulaic. Whereas we know the routine. Let's say somebody hot off the indies, they get signed to WWE. Where do they go? They go to NXT. And then, you know, we see them have some great matches at NXT. You wonder when they're going to be called up to the main roster. Then they get called up to the main roster. Okay, that's the process. I think that they should do more of, hey, let's say, for example, they were to sign somebody. And this is just an example. They sign somebody. Don't bring them in just to NXT. You know what? Maybe bring them into the main roster. Get it excited. Let us see, you know, a new star being formed right in front of our eyes. So maybe break the pattern up a little bit. Four, focusing on the women in terms of giving them the respect that they deserve. Asuka, she hasn't done anything as champion, and this is obviously not a shot at Asuka whatsoever. It's just the fact that nothing has been done with her. That's something that they need to do. They need to actually have a stronger women's division. They have the talent. They just need to actually drive it in the right direction. Similar with what they're doing with NXT has been good. And just creative storylines, things that are interesting, that are not so, you know, goofy, stuff that are more serious, you know, or more believable per se. And those are just some of the, you know, few things that I think need to be done to consistently drive the show. And that's something that we're seeing on SmackDown, that we're seeing, you know, with Roman Reigns and everything. That's something that's driving the show. We need something like that on Raw.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the problem with Raw especially is it's just so interchangeable. You don't have to watch it every week because you're going to see the same stuff every week. You're going to see the Hurt Business versus Ricochet, etc. You're going to see Lana, you know, versus Nia Jax. You're going to see the exact same matches being like Apollo Crews, you know, versus the Hurt Business, you know, Retribution versus the Hurt Business. You're going to see like the same people having the same things over and over again. That like it's there's I don't think there is a thing you can do to magically fix this number. This is a slow, steady process until eventually the first time you have a Raw with a live crowd again. That's going to be huge. No matter what happens, the first Raw with a live crowd is going to be huge water cooler telly. So you just have to basically now just kind of grit your teeth, bear the fact that, yeah, you've sown some bad seeds, they're coming to bad fruit, and you have to try and harvest those out and just set some stuff, like, you know, vary up your weekly programming, like you say, invest in some new stars. Why isn't Keith Lee a much bigger deal than he is? You know, you got to just kind of like plant those things so that eventually when, you know, in hopefully the first half of 2021, you can get back to something that regularly, you know, resembles the programming that you used to do, that you're in a stronger position with a bigger wealth, a bigger depth of talent, because that is the kind of the key thing here is like the talent, you know, we know the talent's there, but the talent are doing the same thing over and over again. So every single division feels stale. So all they can do in order to freshen it up is either title changes, a big return, or like you said, yeah, Goldberg. Or, you know, the thing they do every time, which is go to the ring with a microphone and say, we're listening to you. Oh, we've got the message this time. Oh, don't you worry about a thing. We're going to introduce this new rule where Shane McMahon gets to bring a gun to Monday Night Raw and he gets to fire at one superstar every week. And it might be from SmackDown. You never know. Or we're going to bring up half of NXT. Doesn't matter what their storylines are.
I feel like you're really shipping that gun storyline. Watch it happen.
I don't know why. I just like the idea of Shane McMahon just kind of evolving his Fight Club idea to the point where
it's funny because he has like such dad vibes, because obviously he's a dad, he's a family man, so I can't even imagine him of all people coming in with a gun. And then the way he dances, I don't think his entrance and all, I don't think I'd trust the man with a gun when he's moving that way.
Yeah,
imagine that. Oh, they definitely got some ratings there.
Shucking and diving and shooting. And anyway, yes, I think WWE Raw are in a difficult old spot, a spot that I think they deserve to be in. It's not as drastic as I think a lot of people are saying, but it should be seen as a wake up call. But the wake up call is simply, I think, yeah, change your creative process.
Don't get lazy.
Well, there you go. Like, that's the thing. Like, if anything, I think what fans are so jubilant about this, because I don't think anyone really wants Raw to not succeed. I don't think anyone really wants WWE to do badly. Like, we are all ostensibly fans of wrestling. We want wrestling to do well. I think what a lot of people are very happy about is increased competition is better for the wrestlers. Dave Meltzer pointed that out, you know, like with all the wrestlers with their contracts coming up, increased competition, so much better for them. It means they can, you know, do better with the negotiations. And also, yeah, like WWE has needed something like this for 20 years. It's needed someone to actually be clipping at its heels. It needs someone to actually be taking shots at it that don't just feel like kind of petty repetitions of the past, like TNA used to do with their Monday Night Wars. They need legitimate competition. And the fact that AEW is just stepping closer and closer and closer to legitimate competition, it's, it could be, as Dave Meltzer said, the wake-up call that WWE needs.
Yeah, just to add to it, like, not only does it help the wrestlers, but it helps, like, even just, like, people like us. It helps people, like, it helps the fans obviously stay interested, and then it helps people like us because then our numbers go up, too. Like, every time wrestling is good, I see such a pretty number on, like, our podcast views, and then when nothing good is happening, like, it's just mediocre views.
Won't someone please think of the YouTubers?
Thank you. Nobody ever thinks of the YouTubers, okay? This is our livelihood, okay?
Please, sir, I want some more. Give us some views. A lowly scrap from your table.
Please like and subscribe.
Please like us. Please, we're ever so nice. Please.
The life of a YouTuber, man. It's a hard one.
Oh, hells yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
So we're going to jump into our mailbag. We've had a lot of messages from our fans over at patreon.com/wrestletalk. First of all, this is that guy who wants to support, says, hello there, Team Danook. Here's a small and simple question. Dinadam? Let's call it Dinadam. Dinadam.
Dinadam, or what about, wait, Adnees?
I mean, that's clunky, and I like it. Adnees.
Because I feel Dinadam. Dinadam. Damn. Dinadam. I could damn. Be Dan. Damn.
Team Damn. We'll take it. No gimmick infringement from us, Ron Simmons. Hello there, Team Damn. Here's a small and simple question. Do you have any guilty pleasure wrestling gimmicks? A terrible gimmick that you still love? For me, I have a nostalgic love for the Boogeyman, a crap gimmick, but I was 8 at the time and thought he was the scariest thing ever. Also, for some reason, I've always loved Pirate Paul Burchill, as dumb as it was. Do you have anything? Also, as a Jewish person listening to Denise talking about Christmas and knowing myself in holidays, I would probably also be a Grinch.
Thank you. I'm not alone. Do you have any? I like the ones that he brought up, except for the Boogeyman, because he grossed me out all the time with those worms. That always happens to me every time.
Worms.
My brain is shot. Okay. I liked the Paul Burchill, like the pirate thing, because I had a pirate obsession. But you know who else I liked? And it was the vampire thing with Shelly Martinez.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that one.
I used to want to be her so bad. So bad I wanted to be Shelly.
Oh, I'm just trying to think of my, like, the kind of, because there are loads of guilty pleasure gimmicks from the Attitude Era. Like, I remember, for some reason, I was just a huge fan of Billy Gunn. But specifically,
Ass-Man.
Like,
are you an ass man, Adam?
The Mr. Ass gimmick. Like, I don't know why. I just thought that was really, really funny.
Because I was a stupid kid.
He loves to love him. He loves to stick him. I'm going to go with Mr. Ass. Like, genuinely, like, even when he became the one Billy Gunn with the earring and the gold pants, like, I don't know. I just always had a soft spot for Billy Gunn. So I guess that's a terrible kid.
With the little song, too.
The little song. So Chris says, hi, Luke and Denise. My question is, with SmackDown falling on Christmas Eve, would you keep the show as it is or do something different like NXT does, Halloween Havoc, for example? Personally, I'd love for them to do a mini pay-per-view and wanted to see if you guys would as well. Thanks. Have a great weekend. Now, Denise, I like Christmas. I like Christmas a lot. And I like Christmas, especially this year, because I don't get to go home. I don't get to go home and see my new puppy.
Literally, you get to go home or you don't get to go home?
I don't get to go home. My parents have a brand new puppy. Literally.
Oh, I want a puppy. I'm planning on kidnapping it. So,
no. This is Ruby.
She's so cute. That's my dream puppy.
Yeah, she's a little cavapoo. And my parents literally just got her. She's less than 6 months old. And I have a new nephew, which I probably should have led with. But I have both.
You mentioned the dog first.
Dog. Look, the dog's going to grow up quicker. Like, he'll be a baby forever. Whereas the cavapoo is going to be like a proper dog when I see her. I'm going to miss the whole puppy phase. Anyway, so we're not going to get to go home this year. So we've properly done out the place. And we've got, like, the tree up. And we've got Buble on every waking second. Because we're desperately trying to feel some form of festivity. But I hate Christmas in my wrestling. I hate Christmas in my wrestling. Like, any Miracle on 34th Street fight nonsense, the time that Alberto Del Rio hit Santa with the car. I hate Christmas in my wrestling. I'm a proper Grinch for it. Genuinely, any seasonal wrestling I find a bit naff. I don't know how you feel, but I would love for them to just do a straight lace. Just like, no, we're not mentioning Christmas. I don't care. We're not. I know they're not going to do that. Mick Foley will be there ill-advisedly, and he'll womp someone with his sack. But like, I loathe it. It's one of my pet peeves, is seasonal gimmick bollocks.
I don't blame you, because if you're gonna do something like that, it might as well be really funny instead of like what it usually is, like just goofy nonsense stuff. But by the way, you mentioned Mick Foley. Did you ever read his children's book, Mick Foley's Christmas Carol? I forgot the name of the book, but it was my favorite book as a kid. It was the best book ever. It was the last time I had Christmas spirit.
Oh, wait, did Mick Foley killed off your Christmas
story? No, afterwards, once I stopped reading the book. But anyways, that is, and putting that aside, I don't mind them promoting like a big Christmas show or like making it feel like a, you know, like a special show. I don't mind it, because let's face it, anything to like try to get extra viewers. You never know. Somebody might see that and be like, oh my God, they're doing like SmackDown Christmas Lollapalooza. I don't know. I'm going to watch. There's probably some people out there that would like that. And we just don't know who those people are. I mean, me either way, I'm going to be watching, because, you know, got to be watching, but it's not going to make a difference for me.
I think my least favorite one was, it was like Damien Sandow when he was at, he hadn't quite done the Mizdow stuff yet. I don't think that was quite as over as it was. He was still in this kind of dressing up phase, and it was a ghost. It was like it was called The Battle for Christmas, I think. And it was Mark Henry versus, and he was the good Santa, versus Damien Sandow, who was the evil Santa. And you knew that he was the evil Santa, because he came out in a dirty beard and like really gross, like kind of dirty Santa outfit. I was just like, I just hate this kindergarten bollocks. Anyway, look, on to happier things. So what's the Mick Foley book about?
Oh, man. Okay, so from what I remember, it's just, I just remember it involves a bunch of wrestlers. I haven't read the book in years. Oh my God, I forgot. But I just know that it has like a bunch of wrestlers. The illustrations are fantastic. I think, did Jerry Lawler might have done illustrations, I think, for that book. And then somebody pees their pants, I think. I forget who, but I feel like I remember that. And then that's it. That's all I remember. But it's like this beautiful story. I just don't remember the story. It's been years.
Someone pisses themselves, you know, like baby Jesus did on Christmas.
I'm going to rebuy the book. You know what? I'm going to go on Amazon and I'm going to rebuy the book.
Buy something that's good that's to do with Christmas.
I'm going to do a story time on YouTube. I'm just going to come up and read the book to everybody.
Night before Christmas. All right. Okay. Tattoo Koopman says, hey, Lukewarm and Hollywood Salcedo, I'm from Melbourne, Australia, and thankfully we've had zero cases here for almost 40 days. Oh, you sods. After our second wave sent us into 4 months of hard lockdown, I'm now so stoked to say that indie promotions will begin here again in January, and Melbourne City Wrestling is back in February. Three of the top MCW stars have recently signed with ROH, but I selfishly hope with travel restrictions, they'll still be around for the first show back. My question is, as an indie promotion that's been on hiatus for basically a whole year, would you do a hard reset of storylines, or would you pick up where storylines pause? And if you were a wrestler, would you risk resetting your character over the break? Listening to wrestlers interview during lockdown, they've all said they've worked on or lent into their gimmicks even more, but it's an interesting thought. That is an interesting question.
It's simple. Hard reset. Start all over. New storylines. And if the wrestler has a new character, do it.
That's the thing, is like the appetite for live wrestling after so long is going to be, for at least a small amount of time, is going to be fever pitch. So what you want to do is, yeah, you want to hit like the ground running, like even from independent right up to top level WWE, the first show back with fans matters. It really, really matters. Not just in this kind of feel good, here we are again, we are able to be here again, but also just like what it means for the business, because it'd be the slow and steady, hopefully crawling back to some semblance of, you know, fans being excited about wrestling again. So yeah, well, you have to acknowledge that. You have to acknowledge like that we're back. You have to acknowledge that it can't just be just like, okay, so you remember that thing that happened at the cliffhanger to the last episode, right? We're just going to pick that up again, because like, that's the thing, is we've all been through too much for that.
Oh yeah. Like I can't even, because I did ring announcing like before, you know, all of this, I was doing a lot of ring announcing. I don't even remember the last show I ring announced. So you're expecting people to remember all the storylines from some show that they watched from God knows when, you know, people are not going to remember that. They might remember some stuff.
I will say, I really hope that across like the country, a couple like indie promotions, someone who would like cut a heel promo on the last live show they did comes back and basically cuts like as if they've been cutting the same promo for a year. Like, as I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted.
That'd be pretty clever.
Because that's the thing, is like, yeah, I think you've got to play with the fact that, for, you know, if you're not WWE or Impact or AEW, you've had a year away. And what does that mean for your roster? You know, like, you have to address it. But honestly, like, after a curse of a year, this can be a blessing, because the first live show back, is everyone is just going to be so happy to see you. It's literally the easiest book show you've ever done. Put on some matches with some people that people like. It'll be the best show you've ever had. Yeah, exactly. Dre Smith says, hello, Mr. Lukewarm Luke Owen and Ms. Hollywood Salcedo. I was just wanting to know if you think, because of the faction warfare that goes on in AEW, that Sting himself will be a leader of his own faction.
I think that right now it's still too early to tell. I feel like they're definitely, obviously, what they're teasing with everything that's going on with Darby. We still don't know what's going on with Darby. The line, nothing's really been made clear just yet. Then obviously he's going to go into doing something with Cody. We don't know if that's going to happen right away or if they're going to really tease that for a long time. I don't know. Personally, I don't think I really see right now. I don't want to see him in a stable, but I think down the line it will have to happen. Like you said, he signed a multi-year deal with AEW. So obviously things are going to be changing later on down the line. But right now, I don't see it happening very early on.
Absolutely. I think because the Sting that we've seen in AEW is very much WCW Sting. Like that's the big kind of selling point of this thing. This is not like he's here from TNA's Hall of Fame. That's not the way they've been selling it. You know, it's about the history of Sting, you know, his history with Tony Schiavone, his history with the Rhodes. It's WCW Sting, you know, on TNT, for example. WCW Sting, like, obviously, like, yes, he was part of NWO Wolfpack, of course, but what made Sting his kind of the most iconic was him as a loner, almost like a peacekeeper, someone who embodies the spirit of the promotion that he's in. So I don't want him to do a rerun of Sting, of course, you know, like that would be an incredibly, you know, WWE thing to do, just have Sting coming out and doing the same thing every time. But that is his kind of, that's his legacy, really, I think, is especially early on, is that he comes out and he's sort of the difference maker.
You have to stay true to who he is. Like, you can do new things, but still stay true to who the core character of Sting is.
Yeah, exactly. I think like at some point, yeah, like battle lines are being drawn, and I find it really intriguing. Like just the Darby Allin's sort of expressionless face. I mean, personally, I'm pulling for a, you know, illegitimate son angle. That's what I'm pulling for.
WWE
paternity test.
No, God, no, that would be terrible. I don't think I'm into that. I'm not into the whole family.
Sting comes out with his with half makeup on instead, and they play catch together. He basically gives the bat to Darby Allin, then
he gets a little bat.
Gets a little tiny little
Those t-ball ones that you, the little kids play t-ball with.
Darby Allin teaches Sting how to skateboard. Cowabunga, dude. Can you not see the ratings here, Denise? I can't be the only
No, one. I'm anti this. I'm completely anti this.
You are such a Grinch.
Although I would like to see the little bat, though. I'm all for the little bat.
Yeah, I think there seems to be like lines are being shown up. Obviously, you got the Dark Order, you got Taz's stable. You're thinking about it.
I think so. I visualized him like coming down from the rafters, but with like, you know, those little baby things that parents use where they put their little babies in. With Darby and the little baby thing. I don't know, like not like a kangaroo because they have the ones for the front and the back.
Just there, just like kicking his little legs.
You see, why'd you do this? Now my imagination is just like running off in different directions.
Don't you talk to me or my son ever again, says Sting. Oh, you watch. In 6 months' time, when this is actually the storyline, we'll come back and point to this and demand the views and the recompense that we are rightfully owed. Jonathan, the headmaster headman, says, good appropriate time of day. Team Danute, quick couple of things. First, to clarify, don't think Rachel is bad for going back to work. It's for the fact that she hasn't changed a diaper in that time. Second, what's your stance on Cheers and Frasier? Next week, I'll have a question on that. I'm not entirely sure what the Rachel stuff is. Is that from a previous show?
Sometimes we talk about Friends on here, but essentially, I haven't seen Cheers and I haven't seen Frasier.
Oh, that Rachel. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, that Rachel. You're like, which Rachel? Who's what Rachel? Who's
Rachel? What's she?
Shoot on. I caught myself so you wouldn't have to edit.
Oh, I wouldn't. Don't worry. I'm not going to edit this.
No, he gets mad at me if I accidentally curse on this show.
Oh, he gets mad at me too. And I'm very, very bad for it. But yeah, like we'll see what happens. To be honest, I feel like we'll just do the last minute. We'll just curse up a storm and screw it. When it says I thought, do you think Rachel is bad for going back to work? I'll be just like, in a pandemic? What's happening? Is Rachel someone this guy knows?
Yeah, Rachel because she got pregnant and then went back to work. No, I don't think it's bad that she went back to work because we were talking about, because Luke said that he thinks Rachel is the best character on Friends. So I think this person's just saying like, hey, like she was a bad person because this.
I think Rachel has like the best character arc in Friends. Like she goes
exactly what Luke said. Yes, it's exactly what he said.
She's not the best person, though. Chandler's the best person. Like, Chandler, literally...
We all have different opinions on this.
In the last six seasons of Friends, literally, like, there's only one friend who is consistently doing nice things for others, and it's Chandler doing nice things for Monica. It appears, like, genuinely, especially in, like, the last, like, two seasons, literally, they're all terrible people, apart from Chandler, who just does endlessly nice...
Joey is the nicest person.
Joey?
Yes, he's so nice. He's nice to everybody, and nobody's ever nice to him.
Joey doesn't share food.
Yeah, but that's okay. Who wants to share food? But who's your favorite character in Friends?
My favorite character is Chandler, not least because when I first watched Friends, right, I was like a little 10-year-old going into a teenager. And it's bad for you. No one should ever want to be like that. But I wanted to be like Chandler so much. I wanted to have a cool, funny thing to say after my friend. You know, my friends would come into the room and they would say, here's what I'm doing with my day. And I would say, yeah, more like da 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 da. Turns out it makes you super unlikable. So I had to stop doing that, because if you try to do Friends in real life, you just become a sardonic.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, no. But Chandler was always my favorite. How about you?
Okay, so yours is Chandler. Luke's is Rachel. Can you guess mine?
Oh, is yours Joey?
No.
Phoebe?
No. You're way off.
Monica?
No, it's Ross.
It's Ross, the worst of the friends.
I love Ross. I think Ross is just so, he's just so funny. He's the funniest one. He's the most relatable one because things always go wrong in his life. And then he always just like loses his mind. And I feel like that's me. Like everything goes wrong in my life and then I just lose my mind. So I feel like I have a connection to him. And then after Ross, it's Monica, because Monica's like a perfectionist. She's like super organized and she's kind of boring, but to me, she's like a lot of fun. So it's Ross, Monica, and then Rachel, who are my favorites. And then afterwards, it's Chandler, Phoebe, and then Joey's actually my least favorite.
Oh, wow. Damn. Quick, like 180 degree turnaround on Joey.
He's the nicest one, though. I genuinely think he's the nicest one.
But you hate nice.
I hate nice. Nobody likes nice.
So I get it with Monica. I completely get it with Monica. Rules help control the fun. Might as well be on my kind of coat of arms of my family. When it comes to like teaching board games, like genuinely, like I get super into it. I'm mega competitive. I get really annoyed if people don't follow.
And you don't like Monopoly.
Who does? Who does, Denise? If you're about to tell me you. No, no, Denise. Why are you so wrong about everything?
You just hate my opinions on everything.
It turns out I might hate you, Denise. And I'm really sorry.
You won't be the first or the last.
No, indeed. Indeed not. Just to kind of finish off your question, Jonathan Hedman, love Frasier. Frasier is for me, like, I am waiting for it to come onto UK Netflix because I really want to go back and rewatch the whole thing again. For me, that's comfort telly, is Frasier. And not least because I've got a posh voice and I'd like to think of myself as having some refined taste in comedy. But also, it's bloody lovely stuff. Like some of the best acting in sitcoms, some of the best farce in sitcoms. Like the first 4 seasons of Frasier are lightning in a bottle, wonderful and like emotional, like some of the best characters in sitcom history. Genuinely, Frasier is up there for being one of my favorite sitcoms of all time. I recommend
Denise. I'm gonna watch it after I'm done with Seinfeld. I'm on season 7. I'm somewhere in season 7 of Seinfeld.
Seinfeld's good. I didn't see the last season of Seinfeld because I heard it ended badly, but like up until then, Seinfeld's choice is so good. The contest is one of my favorite episodes.
Oh yeah, I got to that one. So yeah, Seinfeld, also Frasier.
Awesome. Chris Gardner says, "Hey Denise and temporary Luke replacement. Hello. I just started a new job, so my status as a pledge ham is once again secure. Fantastic.
Money.
What an objectionable person you are, Denise.
What? When you think about that?
Bang, bang, bang in the air. Shane's got a gun. I've just signed you to my pledge hammer is once again secure. This does mean I'll need you more than ever to keep me informed, so I'll have less time to watch stuff. So thanks in advance for that. So to the question of the current wrestling babies. Both parents have to be wrestlers, retired wrestlers, and they can't have already wrestled a professional match. Oh, of all the wrestling babies, who hasn't already wrestled a professional match? So Maxwell's out. Who do you think is going to have the biggest wrestling career? At least a couple of them will end up wrestling based on how many second and third generation wrestlers there are now. So which of the current crop of wrestling babies do you think is going to have the best wrestling career?
So we're talking about babies that are like alive already, right? Or like potential babies.
I think any baby that is an official baby. So like it's been announced as like.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Because I was very confused. I was like, are we talking like young, like wrestlers that are already training that have parents in wrestling, you know, like your Dominics? Or are we talking like babies, like your Becky Lynch baby?
Yeah, we're not talking about the question. We're not talking about your gigantic 6-foot baby that is Dominic Mysterio.
I was very confused. I was like, are we talking about like young guys that have parents that are wrestlers that are still, you know, getting there? Like, or yeah, like I said, babies.
I think babies. I think we're talking about like, is Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins' baby going to be more successful than Jon Moxley and Renee Paquette's baby?
I don't know. I can't decide. I feel like babies are like, they're all going to be so different, you know?
I think the pressure on Cody Rhodes' baby, like the great grandson of a plumber, like that, there's like, if that baby does not go in to wrestling, Cody is going to be so upset.
You know what? I think I agree with you on that one because it's like he's got some pressure. He's got some stuff to live up to for sure. Yeah.
I love that we're just assuming that it's going to be a boy just because like there's something about the Rhodes lineage that just dictates it's going to be.
Well, but like, let me see. Renee's having a girl. Becky had a girl. So maybe we're due for a boy. Not that makes any sense because they're all different families.
That's how it works. Yeah. I think of all of them, like, I would not be surprised if Daniel Bryan's kids just nowhere near. I'm like, Birdie just completely bypasses wrestling. Like, I think of all the parents, who's gonna be most like, you need to follow in my footsteps? Because like Becky Lynch, obviously being one of the defining female stars of her generation, that's quite a bit of pressure, especially if she's had a girl. Whereas Daniel Bryan be just like, maybe wrestling sucks. Don't do what I did. I'm getting out. Just like, let's live on a farm and be an environmental lawyer, Birdie.
Birdie has options. Her mom's like, you know, does everything. So they have options.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I'm gonna throw my weight behind the Rhodes progeny. Got a lot to live up to.
You're gonna root hard for that baby.
I'm rooting for that baby. I stan.
I'm rooting for Dominic, the giant, already long-lived baby.
Maybe that's what they're gonna do on Monday.
I can't believe I completely misunderstood the question.
Look, I'm sure Dominic is Rey Mysterio's, you know, baby.
Isn't he older than Aaliyah?
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah.
He's not even the baby in that sense.
Well, like, he's already lost Aaliyah to Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy. Not Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy, but Buddy Murphy now. So yeah. Maybe he's just going to throw all of his love behind Dominic, his gigantic son. Let's see. Oh, there was a PS. PS, Denise, this is an interesting point, Denise, and you have to take this point on its value. You were so excited to give Luke his gift last week. How can you not love Christmas? It's a holiday designed to give gifts.
Well, I just liked it because here's the thing, Adam, is that I've come to realize that Luke and I live very different lives. Literally, just because we're on different places on this earth, we are so different and have different life experiences. So for me, it was very exciting to see that something that's so normal to me, so every day, was completely it was completely new to Luke. So it blew my mind. And I think that's why I was excited. So maybe not because it's like Christmas giving type of stuff. It's more the fact that it was just like crazy to me that it was just crazy. I don't know how else to say it. It was just like when something's the same thing for you every single day, it is so different to somebody else. It's mind blowing.
So can I just clarify? The thing that was crazy was that he hadn't had fiery hot Cheetos?
No, all of it. So I gave him a whole box. It's like a bunch of all my favorite candies, all of them.
Oh, go on. What are your favorite candies that were in the box? Because I've seen Luke with the stuff on his hands. I think he was having the fiery hot Cheetos. But
he was having the hot Cheetos with lemon. Okay, so my favorite ones that I can't wait for him to try are the Airheads.
What's an Airhead?
See what I mean? Like, this is mind blowing for me. These are my everyday candies. So like Airheads are like, I don't know, these things, and they're like this, and then they come in different flavors, and they're pretty good.
What does that mean? Is that a chocolate bar? Is that a licorice stick? What are you talking about?
I don't know how to describe it, okay?
An ice cream sandwich?
No, it looks like a tongue.
What?
It looks like a plastic tongue, but they're delicious. I don't know how to explain it, all right? You're going to have to watch Luke's review of this. Okay, and then trolleys, which apparently everybody in the comments section are saying that it wasn't an American candy. It's actually a German candy, but it's really popular here in the United States, and it's my favorite candy. So the Airheads, the trolleys, and the mazapanes, which are Mexican candy. So I also sent him Mexican candy too. So the mazapanes are the three. Those are the three candies that like I can't wait for him to like try.
What's your opinion, because this is something like, since we talked about kind of like hot candy, I think that got that conversation going, what's your opinion on chili and chocolate?
I don't think I've had chili and chocolate. Have I had chili and chocolate? I feel Ooh. Like I might have, like something that was, no, I don't think I've had it.
Oh, it's no. It's a revelation, Denise. And do you like the spice?
See, well, what do you, okay, I need like specific items here because I don't like pumpkin spice. I hate pumpkin spice. Like anything pumpkin spice, I don't like.
Do you like hot stuff? Okay, great.
Yeah, like I love hot stuff. Like in general, hot stuff, like hot chips. Like I have salsa like almost like not every day, but at least a couple of times a week, you know, I have my salsa. So I'm very into like hot foods.
Well, yeah, if you can find, yeah, track down some chocolate with chili in it, because the heat, you don't think it's going to work, but it absolutely does. It's so weird. It's such a weird kind of combination of flavors. You just don't think about it, but yeah, it's really, really nice.
Ooh, now I have to try it.
You should.
I'll try to see what I can find. I don't know what's available.
So Marcus Sol Campbell says, Merry Christmas to the whole WrestleTalk team and even to the Christmas Grinch, Denise. Have either of you listened to the newest Gorillaz album yet? And what do you think of it? What is your favorite song off the album? For me, it's Between the Pink Phantom and Valley of the Pagans. And also, what's your favorite Gorillaz song? Gonna have to completely hold my hands up. I have not heard it. I'm a fan of Gorillaz, like in so much as I think a lot of people are fans of Gorillaz, like the, you know, the songs that you've heard. But I can't say I bought an album. I like Feel Good. That's a lot of fun.
Thank you for saying Feel Good, because I was thinking this whole time, what is that one Gorillaz song that I know? And it was Feel Good. That's the only song that I know, and it annoys the hell out of me, because it used to be the song and like middle school and high school, and it was so overplayed. I'm done with it. And I don't know any other Gorillaz song.
The overplayed song for our high school was by far Mr. Brightside. Like that was my upper six. That and the did the Darkness ever make its way over to America?
How did it go?
So the Darkness are a band, and they did like I Believe in a Thing Called Love. Just listen to the rhythm of my heart. No, cool.
I don't know. I'm sorry. Maybe it did, and I'm not hip, and I don't know. But I love your vocals, though. I was very impressed. I don't know if I was more impressed by your vocals than I didn't even recognize the song.
Shut up, Denise. Don't you patronize me.
No, I am. I'm not mocking you. I genuinely appreciate your vocals.
You have been hanging out with Sean Ross Sapp too much, and you have perfected the art of no. Oh, that was really good. That kind of American passive aggressive. Oh, good job.
Is that what you think Americans do?
Yes.
An American thing, really?
My partner is American. I can guarantee you that's what Americans do.
Oh, like, good job, sweetie. Is that really an American thing? I never realized that.
Gosh, look at that. How good job. It's just like... I know what that means. I know what it means.
Well, I think because, like, for the most part, I don't think Americans are very honest. So I think they'd rather just lie to you and tell you, like, you're amazing. You're wonderful. God love you.
Oh, my God. Thank you. I love it. No. For me, I love it. Did you keep the receipt? Yes, Feel Good, favorite Gorillaz song. Merry Christmas, everyone at WrestleTalk and everyone listening. Hope 2021 is a good year for all. So since this year is nearly in the books, and what a year it has been for the good and the bad, mainly the bad, I thought I would ask, what is your wacky predictions for WWE in 2021? So out of the following list, remember, be as crazy as you like. This is just a fantasy prediction. Let your imagination run free. P.S. The ones in brackets are my wacky fantasy prediction. So they have predicted best male superstar Kevin Owens, best female superstar Sonya Deville, best tag team Seth and Roman, best storyline Seth and Roman, best return Becky Lynch, shocking face turn Corbin, shocking heel turn Mysterio family, and shocking title change Jeff Hardy wins WWE title. Those are some of those predictions are more out there than others. But Denise, I'm going to hold your feet to the fire, and I'm going to ask you for your crazy 2021 predictions. Who is going to be the best male superstar of 2021?
I'm going to go with, I'm trying to think of the worst, or maybe I shouldn't say the worst, or with somebody that would be completely crazy. Okay, what are we on? Male?
Male.
You said male, right?
Yeah.
You know what? Since we were talking about him, I'll go with Dominic.
Yes, the destroyer himself. Finally, out of the shadows of his tiny dad. I don't know if this is a wacky prediction or not, but I genuinely think that Kenny Omega is going to be the most important wrestler of 2021.
No, you gotta go wacky. Come on, you really think I think Dominic's gonna be it? Come on.
Yes, Denise, you gave me your honest opinion as a journalist.
You're supposed to give an out there crazy opinion.
All right.
Not
okay.
Something concrete. It's got to be wacky. Something okay. You know is not going to happen.
Okay. All right. Well, according to those rules, then I am going to say the biggest superstar of sod it. Because I want it for Pete, John Silver. John Silver is going to rule the Dark Order. He's going to depose. He's going to depose Brody Lee and rule it with an iron fist. And it's going to make Chopper Pete so happy because his doppelganger is going to do so well at wrestling. Best female superstar.
Breakout star of the year, Nia Jax.
Bone-breaking star of the year, perhaps. I don't think this is going to happen, but I could see it. Just like Vince going full force behind Mandy Rose, like just properly. And it's not a terrible shout. Like, she's improved a significant amount, but I can imagine him going like kind of full force behind that, either her or Carmella, who's got the gimmick that Vince has wanted someone to have for years now. Best tag team, Seth and Roman. Seth returns and joins Roman in the family and becomes a team. Oh my God, that's a wacky prediction. No more Shield, please. Best tag team.
I'm trying to think of somebody that I could randomly just put together. Who would be random? Who's random for you?
In terms of just like... intergender tag team match, put together Dominic and Aaliyah. That's what I want.
Dominic and Aaliyah? All right, I want your answer too then. That's a good one.
What is going to be the best storyline in WWE? I kind of want to see the AEW invasion, just because like WWE feel like they're on the ropes and AEW, like that would be if you're talking about something that would be like the most water cooler telly, like the biggest kind of water cooler wrestling idea that is out there right now is WWE versus AEW. So sod it, I'm going to go with that.
I'm ashamed of you. You didn't go with your Darby Sting illegitimate son angle.
You're right. What am I doing? I don't even have the courage of my own convictions.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to say that. I was like, all right, he ain't going to say it. I'll say it.
That's fair. I mean, to be fair, Denise, it would set the wrestling world aflame. Best return. It's got to be Gilbert, hasn't it? Because he retired this year. It's a huge fake out. He retired in February. No. He's coming right back. They bring Goldberg in to write the ratings. And then who comes out? Gilbert. And we finally get it. We finally get the official match. That's
Gilbert, Goldberg. That's it. That's the WrestleMania. That's the WrestleMania main event right there. You got it. I can't think of anyone better, so I'll stick with your answer too. I'm just stealing all your answers, by the way.
Yeah, I see that. Shocking face turn, right? You have to answer first, Denise.
Oh man. Hey, I answered first on a few of those questions.
Best face turn.
I'm trying to think like wacky. Well, I guess it would depend who's still a heel next year.
Say
can
again.
I
say sorry.
Nia Jax again? I'm like, can I vote Nia Jax? Yeah.
Yes, you can. That is a face turn I don't think anyone would buy. Shocking. I'm going to steal that answer, by the way. Shocking heel turn. I tell you what, I love the idea of a heel Mysterio family. That's so dumb. I really, really like it.
Doing
La Familia. Properly, like he becomes this kind of patriarch sitting on like this throne, you know, becomes like a godfather of his. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Bosses Angie around.
And shocking title change. I could absolutely see them putting the title on Lana. I absolutely could see it happening. Genuinely, shock roll up after Asuka gets distracted by Charlotte or some nonsense. Yeah, 100% I could see it. Don't want to. I mean, we've already had Leon Ruff win the North American Championship. Everything's fair game at this point. What world we live in? Is there a shocking title change that you have in mind for 2021?
I'm not going to steal your answer, so I'm trying to think of something else that would be shocking. I see, but I feel like Lana in itself is already shocking. But what's sad is that I really feel like they could go that direction with everything that's happening right now on TV. You know what? They're going to give the bout to Aaliyah. Not Lana. It's going to be Aaliyah.
Finally. Oh, yeah. It's going to be a race between her and Dominic to see who's going to be the first to get a title.
Who can get the most gold in the family to please the heel father who wants everything.
So Stuart Fitch says, hello, everyone in the WrestleTalk community. New here. So just want to say hello and keep up with the great content. I look forward to more in 2021. Hopefully seeing some WrestleTalk patrons at some events. That's delightful. Thank you so much, Stuart. Welcome to the family. And yes, it would be nice to see some of you in person when all of this is over. Owen says, hi, Denise, and the other one.
The hello. Other one.
That's fine. I have two questions for you guys. One was from last week's mailbag. How do you think Bray Wyatt's career would have gone if he had stayed as Husky Harris? Do you think he would have gotten over down the line with the fans since he has such a brilliant mind? And my question from last week, do you think when Brock Lesnar retires, he'll have a place with the all-time greats? His status as a part-timer, I think he definitely puts in a unique category, but he is a special attraction, really good when he wants to be when he does wrestle. What do you guys think? First of all, Brock Lesnar is already one of the all-time greats. He's like genuinely, in terms of raw talent alone, he's a once in a generation star. In terms of his presence, in terms of his size, and in terms of what someone of that size can do once in a lifetime, yes, he is already one of the all-time greats. Suplex City or whatever, Brock Lesnar is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's amazing. I wish they did occasionally more interesting stuff with him, but to suggest that Brock isn't an all-time great, it seems like madness to me. I now wait for Denise to say that Brock is not an all-time great.
No, I'm a big Brock fan, so I won't even know. I love Brock Lesnar. So you said it, like everything you said, I completely agree with.
And how do you think Bray Wyatt's career would have gone over if he stayed a Husky Harris? I don't think he would have gone. I think that's the reason he didn't, you know, like it's really hard to be a lackey and to get over if you're, especially when you're part of a bigger group like the New Nexus, like getting out of that and becoming your own person is really, really tricky. And I think, no, he probably would have just gone the way of Curtis Axel and become like a henchman to someone else, someone to be jobbed out to save a pay-per-view match for the person you're henching for down the line. I don't think he would have gotten over at all.
But you know what the interesting thing about it is, when he was Husky Harris, is that even then you saw all the personality and charisma, like he had potential and you could tell. And it's considering like how he looked and how he was, you know, essentially being portrayed, you wouldn't think that just based off the way he looked if you were just judging him off of that. But you could always tell that he always had something. And it was just a matter of, you know, really polishing it up and, you know, finding something that stuck with it. So yeah, as Husky Harris, I would have said, yes, the guy has potential to be somebody bigger, but not as the Husky Harris role.
No, absolutely. Team Hammerfist says, greetings, Team Danuk, the best transatlantic wrestling podcast duo ever. What are the odds of Kenny, the Good Brothers, the Bucks, and Hangman eventually pulling the old swervy swerve and reforming a version of the Bullet Club across both AEW and Impact? If you'll indulge a little fantasy booking, I could see Omega/Brothers and Bucks/Hangman building towards some kind of big six-man tag, only for there to be a finger poke of doom style finish and the six men ride off into the sunset cackling. Also, along the way, I'd love to see Adam Page become the NWA champ. And then the stable itself could be the belt collectors. Is there a market for a Western Bullet Club reunion, or are the days of Bullet Club being relevant truly behind us? Love you always, the American Dad, asked Jesse Long. I can promise you the finger poke of doom is not coming.
Let's not do that.
No, especially now they've got Sting on board. Sting will bludgeon to death anyone who suggests the finger poke.
Seriously. I think the idea is cool, but I prefer to see Kenny do his own thing. I feel like everybody in AEW is part of a stable, in a stable, heading towards a stable. I don't think everybody needs to be in a stable. Like, people could be just their own person. So I prefer, but then again, it is, if they were to do something like this, it would be cool, but I just don't think I want it right now because, like I said, I feel like it's, the stable stuff feels too overdone.
Yeah, Kenny Omega for me feels like a figurehead that a lot of indie like kind of promotions can really rally behind. Like he generally does feel like he is kind of assembling the armies to kind of take on the giant Sauron that is WWE. Like I think the idea of him going around and becoming this belt collector, becoming the most must-watch person in independent wrestling to sort of try and raise the viewership of all of these different promotions in this kind of huge coalition. Like, I think that's a wonderful thing. And I think he's sort of like, we've already had the Elite. I don't think you need to see the Bucks and Paige and Omega back again together. I feel like the days of the Elite are done, at least for now. Like maybe they have a big reunion at some point. I certainly think the days of Bullet Club are done. If only because like that's just, it belongs to a different promotion. AEW, like for all of its kind of like, it is bringing in a lot of stars from like, you know, it's assembled a lot of stars from New Japan and, you know, some people from yesteryear. It is really trying to be kind of its own product, which is kind of, you know, like the Elite has sort of, you know, it's slowly being kind of pushed to one side. You know, they're trying to create their own stables and their own identity, and I think Bullet Club is definitely the wrong image for that. I love the fact that they are playing off history. You know, that's one thing that AEW does really well, is playing off the contextual history of all of its stars, you know, and pairing up Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers. That's really, really fun, and because it makes sense because they are friends. But no, I don't think Bullet Club is the way to go. And I think you're right. I think Kenny right now needs to be the most important single solo wrestler in like kind of alternative WWE wrestling right now.
And it makes him that much grander if he's out there, you know, collecting all these belts, working with all these promotions. It just makes him feel like he's like that extra special individual.
Yeah, completely agree. Callum says, hey, Denise, and other person from WrestleTalk. Hello. Are there any big wrestling predictions you have for 2021? Mine is Kenny Omega turns up at Wrestle Kingdom to confront Kota Ibushi, challenging him to a match at Wrestle Kingdom the year after. So, okay, well, we've done some wacky predictions. I would like one cast iron big prediction that you actually think is going to happen.
One big prediction that I think will happen. Okay, I'm thinking more in terms of ratings. I think that there might be a chance that AEW gets up there. Maybe doesn't necessarily beat Raw. I mean, based on the last Raw rating that we saw, that could be a possibility. But I think that they could get very awfully close.
I think
like closer than what they have gotten, like, but like in like not, like in a specific week though, like at the same time.
Yeah, like total viewership, you mean?
Right, exactly.
So mine obviously is Sting and Darby Allin. Like that is definitely going to happen. Dwayne the Gronk Johnson says, in all seriousness, I think my big wrestling prediction I actually think is going to happen is I think Big E is going to be the person to dethrone Roman Reigns. That's why. Like, I don't get me wrong, all of the evidence for that has vanished of recent weeks.
Yeah,
like,
I kind of lost hope for that.
But like, for me, like, I just hope that this kind of stuff that we're seeing, like a lot of people, you know, the WWE is starting to look like, I hope like what you said at the beginning of this podcast is true, that they look at their own roster and be just like, right, we need to diversify this roster up. We need to add some depth. We were going to do something with Big E. Everyone responded to that positively. Let's do it. You know, because I do think it's not too late. It's not too late. Big E, like all the upside in the world. He has the kind of tenure to kind of make sense as a main eventer. You just need that moment. And I think the Rumble could genuinely be it, you know? It's the sort of thing that kind of really makes a new star. If like a shock win, you know, because Drew in the mind's eye of the fans was not a main eventer until he won the Rumble. He was a upper mid-card henchman who was admittedly turning face with his cool 3-2-1 gimmick, but he wasn't that main eventer until the Rumble. And I still think they could do it with Big E. I understand that they put nothing in place. They had the chance at Survivor Series and they didn't take it. But that's my prediction. I'm sticking with it. That and Darby is Sting's son. Mr. Ollie Davies, number one fan, best jobber in the world, J.J. Gyllenhaal, says, you got mailbag. Hello, Denise, and whoever is replacing Luke, probably Adam. With Raw doing record low ratings and AEW beating all 3 hours of Raw in 18 to 49, key demo. Thank you, Jobber JJ. Is the only way for WWE to be great is for all the McMahons and all the kiss ass yes people to no longer be in charge of creative. Have a great Christmas and jam that jam. Do we need a change in who is running the show?
I think based on all the evidence, you would have to say yes. There has to be a change.
Yeah. I agree. Like, at this stage, like, obviously, I want Vince to retire. I really, really want Vince to retire.
You don't
retire.
Want it to have to be like the other way goodbye. Yeah.
No, that's the thing. I would never hope for that.
No, yeah, no.
But it was like, he's not like every single report that comes out about his creative process, about his business practices, about the way that he kind of formulates, about the kind of atmosphere that sort of still exists around him. Like, all of this stuff is very like bad for the show. It's really bad for the show. And I, you know, I'm not saying that if you put Triple H in charge, WWE will be magically better. But like you say, like, after all of the evidence that we've seen just over the years of the product getting staler and staler and more stagnant and less creative, apart from brief bursts of lunacy, I've got to agree, it is time for a change at the top. RLT Sandwich says, hey, I'm literally writing this immediately after watching Dunn versus O'Reilly from NXT this week, possibly my favorite match of 2020. Still haven't seen it yet. I really need to. Do you think the O'Reilly singles push is breathing new life into the Undisputed Era? As much as I love Adam Cole, baby, it's nice to see someone else from UE in the spotlight. 100%. I love the kind of the new dynamic of Kyle O'Reilly being the kind of the student becoming the master thing. I loved his match with Finn Balor before, you know, the jaw happened. He in the Gauntlet Eliminator, he was amazing. Like, Kyle O'Reilly is one of the best wrestlers on this planet. And just like, I know it's too soon. It's too soon. But Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly, if it happens in NXT, is going to be bonkers good.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is. And I love the way that they've been, you know, what they've been doing the last several months with Kyle O'Reilly has been fantastic. And I do agree that, yes, he is breathing a new life into the Undisputed Era, because for a long time, the focus was on Adam Cole. But now we're getting to see Kyle O'Reilly shine on his own. And like you mentioned, his match with Finn Balor was fantastic. And then, you know, this match that he had just with Pete Dunne just last night or two nights ago on my time days here. It's like, that was really good. And that one match really elevated the NXT episode as a whole. So, I mean, just more of that, man. Like, just keep doing it. And like, and I also don't want to take any credit away from Pete Dunne, because Pete Dunne, man, I am such a big fan of his too. And it's good when you have multiple guys that you're a fan of, multiple guys that you're a, you know, fan of what they're doing and all of that. So I'm very happy with what they're doing with Kyle O'Reilly.
NXT feels like, after a little period like in the summer where it was a little bit kind of like, what's happening, like NXT of all the promotions feels like it's coming back to sort of normality the most, like, because it's just I feel like their setup is the best setup so far, like the intimate setting but with everyone in their own little pods, so they can get actual like fans, you know, still like kind of WWE approved fans, but fans that you can still get some of like some actual like fandom in the building. Like for me, like the last few takeovers is the closest that it's felt like to like
normal
wrestling. And still like, it's still light years away from it, because NXT takeovers, remember Portland? Oh, but yeah, we're still light years away from that. But no, I think especially with the kind of promotion of Kyle O'Reilly, with Pat McAfee being somehow the best promo on NXT right now, with the return of shredded Pete Dunne. Yeah, it's like there's a whole new sort of main event scene building, and Karrion Kross is back as well. Like, it really feels like, oh, NXT's cooking again,
There's really a lot of potential matchups when you think of guys that can, you know, face off against Finn. I mean, you still have people like Damian Priest on your roster who really hasn't had his actual, you know, moment. He's been on the precipice, but he hasn't had, like, you know, the grand moment just yet. So there is still that. And even, you know, for this week's NXT AEW, I had a lot of people that were like, you know what, this week NXT was the best show. And I cover both AEW and NXT on the same night. And that isn't always like the general consensus. People are always like, oh, I really love AEW. Like NXT, like who even watched, right? But this week it was totally different. Everybody was like, I really enjoyed NXT. And that's good because, like, you know, we've talked about this. We need that competition to continue, you know, building for everything to get better, right? But I think that they generally put a good show on. The Pete Dunne, Kyle O'Reilly match was fantastic. They have a lot of stars on there. And now it's just really finding their place. And this was something that they were lacking for a while, but it seems like they're getting back on track.
So, yeah, some injections of amazing talent, like Tony Storm and Ember Moon being back immediately, like, electrifies the women's division. Like, all you have to do is just bring back a couple of people and position them in, like, the right places. And suddenly your roster just seems so much deeper. Like there came a point where it was just like, oof, man, NXT is thin. But right now, like, you know, when Tommaso Ciampa was gone for a brief while, and that was before Karrion Kross had really took over, it really did feel like it was just like Keith Lee, Adam Cole, Cameron Grimes, and Damian Priest. Really felt like those were like the only guys. But you know, I've got a big soft spot for NXT, obviously having done the NXT review for Laurie for most of the year. So I'm really happy to see NXT sort of coming back. It's coming back. Matt Noble says the barbed wire bush under the ring. You could clearly see it a few times in the main event, but it was never used or referenced. What was that about? Did Joey get injured and therefore it was cut? Did they run out of time and therefore it was cut? Has it been placed there as a teaser for something in the future? Is Kenny arming himself in case Mox did come back? So apparently there's this barbed wire bush under the ring in the match between Joey.
I didn't notice it, to be honest. Did you? I mean, I didn't.
No, what I have read about the main event is that they were pushed for time. So it's very possible that a spot was cut. Like, it ended up sort of being a squash match, really. And
it wasn't a good match.
No,
it wasn't. A story-driven match is really what it was. But yeah. I think it was what I expected. I didn't expect a great match or anything like that.
Yeah, is Joey Janela going to take Kenny Omega to the limit the moment he starts his collector gimmick? Probably not.
No.
Chris Duncan says, with Christmas coming up, what have been your favorite festive WWE segments or matches over the year? I don't know why, but I found Alberto Del Rio running over Santa in his car hilarious.
Total opposite of what you were just talking about earlier today. I don't think I have one, though. Do you? And I know you hate the Christmas stuff, so I don't know if you do.
I hate the Christmas stuff. No, I honestly, the only one I can think of is Steve Austin giving Santa Claus the stunner. Because that, to me, is like, that's just about enough. That's fine. It's the idea that Santa always has to come in and gets put over. I mean, yeah, sure, he got hit by a car. But like, you know.
Yeah, he's getting put over. He's getting stunned. He's getting runned over. It's not like he's Santa.
Look, you know what I mean. You know, look, I just don't want to, look, I just don't like WWE brand comedy. I just don't. It's mostly very bad. Like, if anything's done right, it's done right. Sure. Like, that, you know, WWE has occasionally made me laugh in the past. R-Truth has occasionally made me laugh in the past. It's just that.
You laugh at R-Truth? I laugh at R-Truth all the time. He makes me laugh all the time.
I have a complicated relationship with R-Truth, Denise. Like, I like some of the stuff that he was doing with Drake Maverick. I like some of his stuff, but like, R-Truth. Yeah, I have a complicated relationship with that man. He's blocked me on Twitter.
Did he really?
No, he did, yes. because people kept saying, like, Adam hates you. And I was, it was just because, like, there was a time.
Other people got you blocked?
Other people got me blocked. So there was a time, way back in the Halcyon days of, I think, late 2015, 2016, where R-Truth was genuinely really objectionable. He would just like, he stole Wade Barrett's belt. He was on commentary every single week, and he wasn't the funny R-Truth that we know. He was like doing like kind of comedy sneaking around and talking about potato sacks. And I never forgave him for that. Like, and you know, when I got onto YouTube, you know, like you say, like, you know, we're none of us like this in real life. You're actually from Liverpool in England. You just put on this accent. We're all just living a gimmick. And like, so one of the gimmicks that I had was I hated R-Truth because I needed a wrestler to hate. Everyone needs a wrestler to hate. You know, like, you know, it's all part of the persona and stuff. So I just picked R-Truth because he was really annoying me. And it just, since then, everyone's been like, oh, you hate R-Truth, don't you? And I'm like, oh, he's fine. He's fine now. But like, yeah, no. So that's the kind of, but that kind of brand comedy, like that's the Christmas level of comedy. Just like, it's rubbish. Rubbish. I genuinely can't think of any, like, other than Santa being stunned, I can't think of any festive stuff I've enjoyed. I'm sorry.
I'm going to think of you now every time I see R-Truth.
Good. That's what I hope for you, Denise.
Every single time now. This type of stuff sticks into my brain.
That is my legacy. The final question we have from our mailbag, and that's all we have time for this week, is from Jonathan, the Headmaster Headman. One, hello, Team Danuk. Quick last one for you. In the spirit of Christmas, talk about this. So he's linked me a news story, which I'm going to put in the chat there for you to also look at. And the title of this news story is AEW wrestlers reenact a Christmas story scenes to celebrate 24-hour movie marathon. Members of the AEW roster will test their acting chops by recreating scenes from the classic movie A Christmas Story in support of Culture City.
I mean, yeah, I saw the pictures and everything for that. So, I mean, I can't wait to see the scenes, I guess. I didn't watch the trailer, though. I should have probably watched the trailer. Or the sneak preview.
I haven't seen A Christmas Story. What's A Christmas Story? Is it like a famous American movie?
Yeah, it's a famous, and it's funny because I'm the one who hates these types of stuff. But yeah, Christmas Story is like really popular. It's about this little boy. He wants to get like a BB gun or something. And he like, I think it was a BB gun. He wants some sort of like kid gun.
He wants some sort of firearm. Yes. He's little Shane McMahon. Sitting
and he's on. Like, trying to convince his parents and like Santa Claus to get it for him. And then, God, my fiance loves this movie. He watches it every year. I sit there and I don't think I retain any of the information from the movie because the only thing that I remember is like the mom makes him wear like a bunch of sweat, like not a bunch of sweaters. She makes him wear like a poofy sweater. So he's like walking around all large and the little kid's cute. He's got glasses and he makes like a funny face. And so that's the face that MJF's trying to recreate in those pictures. But the movie doesn't do anything for me.
Fair. Cool. I mean, like, yeah, AEW have a sense of humor. Like, I liked the Dinner Debonair stuff. I know it divided a lot of people, but I think AEW generally has a sense of comedic swagger to it. You know, the people who write all the kind of subtitles that appear above people's names when they come out, like, genuinely, like, AEW makes me laugh. Like, so fine. Like, it's fine for a good cause. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm not going to be a Grinch. I'm not going to Salcedo all over this story.
I'm going to Salcedo all over it. Why would I do that? I wouldn't do that. I just explained the movie to you.
Sounds like something exactly what you'd do. Right. We've run on a little bit just because it's such an enjoyable experience talking to Denise, the Hammer Hollywood Salcedo. The Hollywood Denise, the Grinch, the Hammer Salcedo, all those gimmicks.
You know, I'm losing track of all of these gimmicks. I got to come up with something new for 2021.
I
don't know what it's going to be. These things happen naturally. Other people give them to me. You know, I haven't even assigned any of these myself. Somebody's given me all of them.
You are welcome. That is going to be it from us. Thank you so much for watching this special, very special Lukeless edition of the Wrestle Talk podcast. Make sure you click all of the links that are appearing, including to Denise's Instinct Culture with Denise Salcedo. Make sure you go over there and give that a like and a subscribe, especially for Christmas. Teach Denise the true spirit of Christmas by giving her a subscribe.
Make my heart grow bigger.
Exactly. Bye-bye, everyone. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Wrestle Talk Rumble. now is live.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.